Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? It is still morning. Amen. We are going to receive the tithe at this time. I want to encourage you about the tithe. You may wonder why I said what I said earlier about we can't direct it. And the reason is because it doesn't belong to us. The tithe belongs to the Lord. It's His. He said it's holy. How can He tell us that we rob Him unless we're taking what belongs to Him? And He tells us in Scripture that if we don't give Him His tenth, that we've robbed Him. And so, it is so important that we learn how to handle money. And part of it is in our giving. Jesus said if we don't learn how to handle money, He will not entrust us with the true riches. Amen? Now, true riches ain't got nothing to do with money. I'm telling you, the things of the Spirit are the true riches that Jesus is talking about. And I would rather be trusted with true riches than money anytime. Money is a slave. That's all it is. We command money to do what we need it to do. Money's a servant. Now, if you love money, money is your master. And money does not make a good master. And you don't make a good slave to it. And so I just want to encourage you, if you struggle with that, just trust the Lord. It's the only place in Scripture. He knew how hard it was going to be for us. It's the only place in Scripture that God said, you can test me in this one area. Isn't it amazing that most of the time God will not allow us to test Him about anything? And as a matter of fact, Jesus, whenever the enemy was tempting Him, the enemy said, do this or do that. And Jesus said, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. That's one of the commands, to not tempt the Lord, your God. But in one place, God said, you can test Him. And it's with money. And I'm telling you, He's faithful. See, we get this idea, and I'm going to talk about it this morning. We get this idea that if things don't go well all the time, that somehow that makes God unfaithful. And that is so far from the truth. It is in our most difficult circumstances, no matter how those things or how long those things are extended, that God proves His faithfulness. This world is not a happy place all the time. It's just not. There are so many horrible things that take place on this planet. And we're in this planet. We're not of this world, but we are in it. And we are going to be affected by some of these things. It's going to touch us, whether it's in ourselves or whether it's in people that we love. But we're going to be affected by difficult things in this life. And in order for you to overcome those things, you've got to begin to understand principles that God has laid out in His kingdom. And you've got to begin to operate according to the kingdom and not according to those circumstances or according to those situations. I'm telling you, if you are waiting on situations to make you happy, then those situations are probably never going to come. We have got to receive our joy and our happiness from the Lord. And just whatever circumstance we find ourselves, we don't depend on circumstance or situation to make us happy. We get our happiness, we get our joy from the Lord, from Him and His presence, because that is where true joy is found. And it's not dependent on how good we feel or how hard things are right now or how easy it is to pay our bills. ain't got nothing to do with it. And we've got to get past that mindset. And the Scripture is full of it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this letter is from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, therefore I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and you're standing firm in the truth you've been taught, And it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. For our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life, so I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. Peter is saying we have got to be reminded about these things. We have got to be consistently reminded about the truths of God, because if we allow all the circumstance, all the things in this life to just keep pounding us and pounding us and pounding us, there is a tendency to forget the principles of God's kingdom. And backing up, for lack of a better word. There is no defensive position in the life of a Christian. I need to say this again because I could tell that didn't go over very well. There is no defensive position in the life of a Christian. Sometimes when life pushes on us so hard, we want to cower back. We want to back up. We want to hide. We want to somehow stop these blows that are raining on us. It's like a fighter backing into a corner and covering up. That's what we want to do. But in the life of a believer, there's never a place for that. We must stay on the offensive constantly. Peter, in writing to his followers, says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion. We cannot be complacent. We cannot be asleep. We cannot back up. Rather, the Bible teaches us we must stay focused. The devil is real. The bullets are real. And God is taking us to a high place in the Spirit. I mean, we just heard the word of the Lord. He's going to pour His glory out upon this place. I've been in the glory of God. It is an astonishing place. And when you come under the glory of God, you're never going to be the same again. If you've never tasted His glory, you'll begin to understand why I am like I am. You begin to understand why I have this insatiable desire to be in the presence of God. Because when you have been in His glory, nothing else satisfies. And that's our problem. Too often we are satisfied with so much less than what God has for us. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, said a final word in Ephesians 6 and 10. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you'll be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Did you see? He didn't say back up against the strategies of the devil. He said you put on all the armor of God so you can stand firm. I don't care if you have to put a leg behind you in order to stable yourself, but you've got to quit backing up and you've got to stand firm against all the wiles of the adversary. It says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on your salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit. That's why you got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can't pray in the Spirit unless you are baptized in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Paul also said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. To the pulling down of strongholds. Now, if our weapons are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, that must mean there are some strongholds that come against us. And it is clear in what we have read up to this point that in no place does the Bible teach us to back up from the adversary. You know the only thing that you're supposed to run from? Temptation. Flee temptation. You know, when you're on the computer and those things flash up that you know you shouldn't look at, you run from that. But you resist the devil. See, we run from the devil and we resist temptation. We keep the temptation right there in front of us and, oh, well, I'm not going to look at that very long. Hello? We do not run from the devil. We stand up to him and we resist him in the authority of Jesus. Now, I want to talk to you about the weapons. We've already read about the armor, and I'm going to talk about the armor. And I'm going to talk about the blood of Jesus at great length, not today. I'm going to introduce this today, and I'm going to be talking about the blood of Jesus. I'm just going to take, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm going to take you through the blood of Jesus. So that you will understand what it is that Jesus has done for you. See, we are well equipped to stand face to face with the adversary. And most of you know this, and I'm just going to remind you of it, because you have been hammered and you have been pushed down and you have been battered by the things of this world, and you just somehow have forgotten your rightful place as a follower of Jesus Christ. But I came here today to remind you of your proper position in Jesus. The most precious and powerful weapon in the life of a Christian is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes the way for every other spiritual weapon at our disposal. The gospel of Jesus is a bloody gospel that teaches of the amazing sacrifice of God's own Son. The Bible teaches that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, makes us close to God, gives us power over the enemy, purges our conscience. I am going to spend a lot of time about the blood of Jesus that has purged your conscience. Not today, but you need to understand, when you get saved, Jesus cleanses your conscience where you are free from all the things of the past. You are a new creature. Old things are gone. Everything's been made brand new. Now you got to understand, you don't have to violate that conscience anymore. You have a clean conscience. Keep it. Amen. Quit looking at that trash on the internet and television and on the billboards and at the mall. I'm talking to men. We can't even go to the mall. Women dress kind of. It's like they want to show as much flesh as possible. And then they tell you, hey, keep your eyes up here. Are you kidding me? Then why do you wear that stuff? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Purges our conscience, redeemed us from the slavery of sin, gives us boldness to enter into God's presence, sanctifies us, purchased us, appeased God's anger for us, justified us, glorified us, gave us peace, gave us a new covenant with God, made us the elect, healed us, and is the authority whereby Jesus Christ will rule the universe for eternity. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the blood of Jesus. See, I cannot tell you enough. If I stood up here and preached for the rest of my time as a preacher, if I took the next 25, 30 years, 5 years, 5 minutes, however long it is that God has given me to preach this gospel, if I took the rest of that time and preached the blood of Jesus, I could never tell you enough how precious it is and how much you should esteem it. Amen. See, we place value on gold and silver, and we get sidetracked because we start thinking that our relationships with people is more important than the blood of Jesus. We get so confused. There's nothing more precious than the blood of Jesus. If you begin to esteem the blood of Jesus at the level that God is pouring out upon us and asking us to do, then your relationships with people begin to be better than they ever could be any other way. See, we think that we have to cultivate these relationships and esteem them greatly, and at the same time, we are losing ground in them because we can never pour ourselves into other people as much as we can if we have placed ourselves in proper position according to Jesus. If you just put Jesus at the top of your list and seek Him with all your heart and begin to esteem the things of God with the value that God desires of us, then all these other things would begin to fall into place. Your marriage would begin to be much better. And you wouldn't even have to try so hard at it. Our wives, they tell us, communicate. They have all these things they tell us. Well, you don't even want to pay attention to me until now. All the things that women say to men, I want to tell you, we get tired of hearing it. But if we would seek Jesus and begin to place His blood and what He has done for us at the highest point within our being, we would esteem the sacrifice of Jesus to the place that it deserves to be. Then we start treating our wives, and you know, they would probably be thinking we were messing around or something, because what's wrong with this guy? He never acted like this. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus gets a hold of the heart of a man, he will never be the same. Hallelujah. The problem is, we have given our hearts to other things. Work, money, gold, silver, relationships, prestige, honor. We want to look good in the eyes of men. We want to look good in the eyes of men. We want to look important. We want to look affluent. We want to appear as we have everything together. Hey, it's good when you can walk among men of substance and value and they esteem you as a colleague. We feel good about that. But I want to tell you something. If we would begin taking our rightful place in the presence of the God of the universe, you would have to bow to no one except Him. God will put you in front of men that do have power and authority in the earth. David Hogan is a missionary to Mexico. He is a roughneck from Louisiana. He was on an airplane on his way to work in the oil fields of Alaska when God spoke to him and called him into ministry. He is as country as Phil Robertson. The president of these United States has invited David Hogan to come and talk to him. Because David Hogan spends his time in the presence of Jesus, God has esteemed him in the eyes of men. See, you can't get what you want. You might get a measure of it. And even when you get it, it won't satisfy. But what I'm talking about is the only thing that will. Don't you desire to know that beyond a shadow of a doubt and above every lie of the adversary that you are right with God? Not kind of right. Not right until I falter or fall, but perfectly right with God. Don't you desire to be near God? Don't you want to know God's anger has been appeased for you? God is not angry with me. Hallelujah! You should put your hand on your heart and declare, God is not angry with me. Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to walk in authority over the devil? Don't you want to experience the fullness of healing? Don't you want to have an absolutely clear conscience? Then begin today believing that the blood of Jesus is the most precious thing, the most valuable thing that you can ever have in your life. I want to talk to you. I'm telling you, I'm going to series brewing in my spirit about the blood of Jesus. And I just kind of gave you an outline right there. But in order to understand where we're going today, you've got to grasp that it's the blood of Jesus that gives you access into all this. There's no other way. It's not got anything to do with how good you are, how able you are, or how righteous you have been recently in your own strength. That has nothing to do with anything. We enter the glory of God. We come into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus. It's the only thing that grants us this access. Nothing else does. There's no other way to get near to God. And I mentioned the armor to begin with, and I'm going to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. I'm going to take the rest of my time and talk to you about the armor that Paul spoke of. And you've got to understand that all this armor, it's available to you by the blood of Jesus. And the most important thing that you can understand today about the armor is that you implement this, you impute this, you put this into effect when you begin to declare these things. The blood of Jesus gives you authority to speak. This is the hardest thing for traditional Pentecostal people to grasp. And I don't know why this is. I don't know if it's tradition of men. I'm not sure what it is. But when you start telling people that they need to speak right, that is met with more resistance than anything else I've ever tried to preach. Then nobody likes hellfire and brimstone. You know, I could preach about hell for 6 or 7 months, and I'm sure that would get tiresome. But when you start telling people that your future, hinges on what's coming out of your mouth right now, that becomes, shut up. I mean, I hear those voices. Proverbs 18:21, you can deny this, you can act like it's not in Scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life is right there. Death and life is right there. Proverbs 6:2, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So you might want to make sure the words coming out of your mouth are good. I want to be snared with good words. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, Proverbs 12 and 13, but the just shall come out of trouble! See, the one thing, when John Kilpatrick was here, the one thing that stood out more to me than anything else he said was every day the adversary pressures you. Every day there's something that comes into our life that pressures us to say wrong words. Every day you'll see a politician that you don't like. You'll see a preacher you don't like on television. You'll have some, maybe you see a preacher you don't like right now. And maybe you're being pressured right now to say, I wish you'd shut up. Trouble, trials, tests, sickness, aches, pains, headaches, backaches, neck aches. Husbands. Your husband will be used of the adversary occasionally to pressure you to say wrong words. I'm telling you, everything that we read in Ephesians, everything we read in Ephesians can be enacted by your mouth. How else do you put the armor on? What do you think? That you go to some metalsmith and have him make you a set of spiritual armor? Make me a shield, make me a breastplate, make me some shoes, make me a helmet, then I'm going to take it to the church and I'm going to have the priest anoint it with oil and turn this into spiritual armor, and every day when I get up, I'm going to put it on and I'm going to go out and you'll get fired at your office. When you walk in like that. I mean, people don't like to think along these lines, but what else can you do to put the armor on? Well, I just read it out of my Bible. You didn't put it on just because you read it. You have to put it on. And you put it on by your mouth. How did Jesus deal with the adversary in the wilderness? He spoke to him. It is written. Hallelujah. See, you've got to speak these things out. The belt of truth. Couldn't we say that truth needs to be coming out of our mouth? And I'm telling you, the circumstances you face are not truth. There's only one thing in this world that is truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus is the truth. Whatever Jesus says, that's the way it is. And I'm not standing up here telling you what I think I know. I'm standing up here telling you what I know that I know. I have watched God perform these things over and over and over. I am where I am right now because I have spoken what God has said was true. I know people, you know, you don't have to... I know people aren't impressed with me. I'm not trying to impress you. But I know where God has me right now. And it's the best place I've ever been. And I'm not talking about Barnsdall. I have been, and I love Barnsdall. I don't say anything negative about, I love the water here. I love our city. I love our government. I love the business. I love Barnsdall. If you want to make me angry, start cutting it down. Got quiet again. Speak truth. Put on truth. Well, I'm sick. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Hallelujah. See, the truth says, by his stripes ye were healed. That means when Jesus was beaten 2,000 years ago, I was healed right there. And if I was healed, I am healed. Hallelujah. And we need to start speaking that. Hell, my arthritis is acting up. You need to get rid of your arthritis and give it back to the devil. Say, this is not my arthritis. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's truth. Put on truth. Well, my kids are just, I'm telling you, I got the worst kid. Stop saying that over your children. Begin declaring what God has said over you. My children are greatly taught of the Lord. I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Me and my house shall be saved. That's the truth. But it needs to come out of your mouth. I'm telling you, and you start talking about things of the Spirit nowadays. If you think that there aren't people that hate Jesus, you just start talking about the things of the Spirit. See, all people want to do today, they just want to deal with what's happening right now in the world. You can't talk about things that are unseen. They'll think you're weird. They'll think you're a flake. They'll call you a fruit. They'll call you an idiot. They'll call you weak. And I don't care what you call me. I cannot possibly care less what any human being has to say about me. It would be impossible for me to care less. Because I don't care what you say about, I don't care what anybody says about me. Because I know the things of the Spirit. I know they are real. I know this is truth. I have seen God do these things. I saw a woman who had a heartbeat in the 200s. She was 9 months pregnant. Her baby and her were about to die. The doctors was about to give her a shot that would kill the baby instantly just to get her heart rate. We prayed and I saw God instantly make that heart go to 72 beats a minute. God is real. And he needs to be more real to you than anything else you're dealing with. Because all this other stuff is just temporary and God is eternal. And we need to start dealing with truth instead of what we see and what we feel and what we're going through. Put on the belt of truth. Say the truth. The body armor of God's righteousness. How many times does the devil try to condemn us? How many times does he try to hurt our heart? How many times does he try to pierce us through? Well, you're not right. You're always going to be like this. It'll never change. You're an idiot. You're a moron. You always fall. You always falter. You always fail. You do good for a little while, but you always mess up again. The devil just constantly comes at people with this kind of stuff. You're not going to make it. This isn't going to change. He is trying to hit your heart and take your heart out. He wants to take your courage. He wants you to be afraid. But you need to have truth around your belt. And you speak the breastplate of righteousness. I am right with God. By the blood of Jesus, I am perfectly right with God. There is nothing in my life that's not right with God. Does that mean that we're perfect in all? See, there we go again. We're saying because I do this or I do that, then that null and voids, that takes away what Jesus has done. Nothing can take away what Jesus has done except unbelief. If you believe what Jesus has done, it's yours. And I have been made right with God. Perfectly right. Is God still working on me? He'll be working on me till the day I die. And if you think God doesn't need to work on you, then I want to take you outside and I want to see you walk across that pond and not get wet. Because until you're at that place, there's still work to be done on you. Until you are so out of touch with the natural things that you're just walking in the Spirit. How do you think Jesus walked on the water? He was in the Spirit. They thought he was a ghost. The gospel on our feet. How in the world can we expect to spread the gospel without speaking? I know we need to live a life that people look at and say they are believers. I understand that. But the Bible says people cannot believe unless they've heard. You have to hear the gospel. So it has to be spoken. The shield of faith. How can faith be more active other than when it's coming out of our mouth? Well, it's in my head. Well, it needs to be out of your mouth. Because I want to tell you what's going on in this unseen realm. There are angels and there are demons in this realm. And they are just waiting on what you're saying. You are equipping angels or you are equipping demons. That's the way it is. See, John Davis said this some time back. And I'm telling you, there was just a quickening in my spirit. And I know we've heard it. And this won't be the first time you've heard it, even if you've never heard John say it. But there is a war that is raging. There is a war that is raging. You are in the middle. The devil's on one side. The God is on the other. And you determine the outcome. You determine who wins. God spoke to me years ago. It was just a powerful, profound word. The Lord spoke to me. He said, the devil's words have no power until they come out of your mouth. Every day the enemy's pressuring you, trying to get you to say the wrong thing. And if you say it, you got it. Well, I just don't believe all that stuff. And somebody else is saying, I do believe it. I watch my words. Matter of fact, I tell my wife, if I'm not speaking right words, you correct me because I want to say the right thing. Both of you are right. You think you can say what you want? You're right. You can. You can say what you want. You're going to get what you say. Well, it's never going to work for me. You're right. You're right. It is never going to work for you. Until you begin to speak right. That's the truth. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. I am healed. I am stronger than I have ever been. I have self-control. I'm going to be a slim, fit, in shape man in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. How can faith be more active than coming out of your mouth? Do we just have some weird mind game going on where we focus and concentrate really hard until our situation changes? And there's no doubt we need to think right thoughts. But just because you're thinking right thoughts, you need to say right words. Because that's where the power is in your tongue. The sword of the Spirit. I'm telling you, these angels and these demons, they are waiting on your words. And if you will just come into agreement with what God says, by His stripes I was healed. You know, some of you dealing with stuff, and I'm telling you, the demons that get on people and they'll dig their claws in them and they'll bring physical pain and all kinds of trouble and torment, and we give in to it. Well, my neck and my back, I'm telling you, I just hurt all the time, and it's getting worse every day. And then we wonder why the next day it's harder for us to get up out of bed. I'm going to tell you, those demons are just digging those claws in deeper and deeper. And if you will just begin to speak right words, by His stripes I was healed. Healing is the children's bread. If I seek the Lord with all my heart, I will find Him because His word promises it. If we'll just speak right words, these angels. And I'm telling you, if you don't know anything about angels, you need to read about them. Because they are, so, you don't mess with these guys. John Kilpatrick talked about it. When we can anger our angels and they want to kill us. Don't you remember the story of Balaam? That angel wanted to cut his head off. He was furious with him. Do y'all not read the same Bible I do? But we can turn that anger on those devils. If we'll just speak right words. I thank you, Father, that I'm pain free. I thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I thank you, God, that you supply all my need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that if you are for me, who can be against me? See, we thought, well, I'm telling you, what's the use of this? This devil, he just teared me up and I'm telling you, I'm going to die. Well, you are. That's what's going to happen if you don't stop that and turn it around. God is quick to forgive. His mercy is abundant. And he can take your life and turn it around today and begin to swing things back in your direction today. If you'll just start thinking right. Repent. Repentance is a change of mind. Well, I just don't know about all this stuff. Well, get your Bible out and study. Because the scripture is full of this stuff. What did he say to Ezekiel? There is a field of dry bones. What did the Lord say to Ezekiel? Did the Lord tell Ezekiel, just sit there and I'll speak? He said, you speak. What did the Lord say about Samuel? And see, what we don't understand, we read these guys in the Old Testament, we are so impressed. We're like, whoa, oh, they're powerful. The Bible says that never has there been born among women a greater man than John the Baptist, but even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. That's what the Bible says. So you are greater than Elijah. You are greater than Ezekiel. You are greater than Moses. You are greater than any other man that's ever been born before this new covenant. And you have entered into that by the blood of Jesus. Are you starting to see why we need to esteem the blood of Jesus? Amen. Nobody before this covenant is as powerful as you are. And the Bible says about Samuel that God did not allow a single word that he spoke to fall to the ground. Whatever Samuel spoke, God did it. And you are greater than Samuel because of the blood of Jesus. I can tell some of y'all are gasping for air right now. You're like, I'm drowning in this. It's too much for some of you. You need to get the CD. And you need to listen to this over and over. And you need to get your Bible out. And you need to find out if these things that I'm saying are true. And if it's true, you need to start coming into agreement with what God's Word says. Because if you will agree with what God's Word says, you will have what it says you can have. Smith Wigglesworth, and I'm shutting up. I've been trying for 15, 20 minutes. It's winding down. Smith Wigglesworth would come to this side of the pulpit and say, have faith! And he would come to this side and he would say, have faith! Or he would say like something, believing is doing. Faith has action. And he would just say this over and over and over and over and over and over. And for 10 minutes sometimes. And all of a sudden, people start getting healed. as they began to believe, God would begin to move. Be it unto you according to your faith. Faith is believing. Believing is speaking. Hallelujah. I declare I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I declare that God's anger has been appeased for me. God's not angry with me. Hallelujah. I declare by the word of the Lord. See, the Bible says, though you were once far off, the blood of Jesus has made you near to God. I thank you, Father. Even though, Lord, there's times I feel like you're 10 trillion miles away, I thank you, Lord, that I am near to you. And I thank you that you are near to me. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus, Jesus, I want you to prepare your very best offering for the general fund. I believe some of you will give thousands if you'll obey God. And I don't mean to offend you by saying that. And if God doesn't speak to you, do that, then ignore that, because it's not meant for you. You obey God. And when you come this afternoon with your offering, there's several parts to this invitation. And the first one is for people that aren't even Christians. There could very well be. The Assemblies of God says that one out of, and I don't know where they get these statistics. I don't have any idea, but this is what they say. I don't have a lot of confidence in statistics, but this is what they say. They say one out of six people that are members in their churches are lost. And so if that's true, if one out of six of us really in this place don't know Jesus, if we're not born again, if we have not become new creatures, then there's several in here that need to know Jesus. I don't know if that's true. I don't have any idea. I am not your judge. I am not your jailer. I do not even think about who is a Christian and who is not. I preach the gospel, and what the Lord does with that is entirely His business. That's between you and the Lord. But if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, do you understand that to become a follower of Jesus, you've got to speak? Even to come into the kingdom, the Bible says, with the heart man believes unto salvation, and with the mouth we speak. That means that we start telling people, I am a follower of Jesus. I am a Christian. The first thing I did when I got saved, I didn't even know that scripture was in there. The very first thing I did in March of 1993, soon as I got up from hours on my knees crying out to God, I got up, I called my wife, I said, everything is going to be okay. First thing that happened, it started coming out of my mouth. The first part of the invitation is, if you don't know Jesus, if you're not a follower of Jesus, I just want to invite you to come and just kneel at this altar. And if you will come with a pure heart and say, God, I want to know you. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to tell you, He'll meet you at this altar and He'll transform your life. He will translate you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. It will happen today if you will come by faith. The second part of the invitation is for people that have been speaking wrong words. You've been speaking death over yourself. You've been speaking death over your children. You've been speaking death maybe over this church. Maybe you've been speaking death over me. You've been speaking death over your finance. You've been speaking death over your job. You've been speaking death over this country. I love the United States of America, and I would appreciate it if you wouldn't speak death over it. If God told me to pray for the president and his administration, I don't know why He hadn't told you that. And I know he has, because the Bible says that for believers, we are to pray for those in authority. That's what the Bible says. If you've been speaking wrong words, and I want all of you to come at once, because I don't want people to feel like that I'm picking on them, because I'm not. But I'm going to tell you, you need to repent. You need to stop. Today, you need to stop speaking death. And maybe you don't speak death. Maybe you just have not been speaking right words. See, Joyce Meyer, she came out of a horrible, horrible situation. She was abused sexually by her father for over 10 years, and raped by her own father. And she could not figure out where God was at in all that. And she was thinking, God, if you're good, why is this happening to me? And she was just full of hatred and bitterness. And she spoke death over her. She spoke death over her life. She spoke death over her marriage. Her first marriage ended in divorce. And then she was about to drive her second husband away with the same death that was coming out of her mouth. And God began speaking to her about speaking right words. And she finally quit speaking wrong words. That was her first step. And after several months of not saying wrong things, she was praying. And she said, God, I have stopped speaking death over my life, but nothing has changed. He said, it won't change until you start speaking right. And I think it has worked for Joyce. Hello? The second part of the invitation for speaking is, maybe you haven't been speaking death, but you haven't been speaking life either. Maybe you feel strange speaking things that are contrary to your circumstance. As long as it's the Word of God, as long as it's the Word of God, you can't go wrong. Now, you know, if you think that you're going to speak, I'm going to have Pastor Kathy for a wife, and you start speaking that, you're an idiot. She's my wife, and God's not going to take her away from me. Well, I'm going to pray he kills you. Well, see, you are even bigger an idiot. You start praying death over me, God's going to kill you. You can't curse me. I am God's person. And when you curse me, it's going to come back on you. Is that too harsh? Maybe you just haven't been speaking right words. And dinner's right back there, so don't worry about dinner. You got to go cook. You just got to walk through there and eat after we pray. You need to start speaking right words. I want you to prepare the very best offering that you can. I want you to listen to the Lord. And I want you to come. And if that invitation doesn't speak to you, I want you to bring your offering. I want you to stand behind those. I want the ones that need a change, I want them right along the front. And I want the rest behind, and I want you to be praying for them. If you speak right words, if you're doing this, if you're speaking life, then I want you behind these people, and I want you to begin to declare the goodness of the Lord over them. And I want you to declare that right words are going to begin to come out of their mouth, that they are going to speak according to the Word of God. They're going to speak according to the will of God. They are going to equip the angels of God instead of the demons of hell. That they are going to determine victory in this war, and God is going to win. If you have your offerings and those invitations speak to you, I want you in the front. If you already got this, you know that you're supposed to speak right words, and you do. I mean, God's been dealing with you, and you speak right words. I want you to get behind these people. And I hope everyone will come, because either you're doing this or you're not. And this invitation is for everybody to come, because I want us to gather around these people and I want us to pray for them. If they're not, I'm telling you, it's real. I know this, you don't know how big a struggle this was for me. I was raised in a Methodist church and we didn't do any of this stuff. I had no idea about these things. And when people first started talking about this, I was one of those people that called it blab it and grab it. Those were the kind of things that came out of my mouth. But God taught me that this is truth. Now come on, I'm talking, come on, everybody, don't hold back. We want you down here. Brother Butch, begin to play music.